Hello, hello. Is the thing on? Yes, it is. I hope so. After a little break, next season of 1,000 Years of Beer. Welcome everybody back. As always, Anton and me, we say hello. Anton and Matthias from the World's Oldest Brewery, Wine Stefan, and our podcast, 1,000 Years of Beer.
Yes, welcome everybody to another episode. And we're here, not at the brewery museum where we usually are. We're here at the Bräustübel, at our restaurant, because this special atmosphere here, this special room that we are in right now, is part of our story today.
Yes, it is, because we're sitting in one of the old cellars of the brewery restaurant, so-called Stephanskeller, which is St. Stephen's cellar, which is an old cellar remodeled to a dining room, which has, I would say, 200 seating, maybe? Yeah, I don't know.
Just about.
200 people, yes, fit in here. But it's, from an old brewery cellar remodeled and integrated into the brewery restaurant. And in this cellar, there are sometimes...
Crime and dine,
and dinners, and Christmas parties or whatever, or Christmas dinners and stuff like that. But also the brewery does some events here from time to time. And one of those events is... the so-called Starkbierfest, which is...
Bockbierfest.
So for strong beers, and where we celebrate the strong beer season here in Bavaria and have a small festival, a small party or a small event here. And and you were just like, right now, I guess you were like, what? There is a strong beer season in Bavaria? And yes, it is.
Yes. And it's starting on Ash Wednesday till Easter. So basically the
Lenting time.
Lenting time, exactly. And this is also the Bockbier season. And we'll take a deeper dive into the history in just a second to tell you why that is. But first of all, can you explain in just a few sentences what is Bockbier?
Bockbiers or strong beers are typically... Yeah. Like the name says,
stronger beers
than like the regular beers that would be consumed all over the year. So the regular beers have round about 5% alcohol, a little bit less, a little bit more, depends on which style it is. But plus minus 5% of ABV. This is where the normal beers that are drunk all over the year are located in. So the original gravity of those beers are something between 11.5 and 12.5% of original gravity. Bock beers or strong beers are starting with an original gravity of 16%. So where we're much higher gravity, so that means much higher extract content in the beer. So more fermentable sugars and the beer just gets stronger. So also the alcohol content is then higher. So then... There are two categories of strong beers, like Bock beers. They're starting at 16 degree Plato original gravity. And then there are the so-called Doppelbock, which means double box or double strong beers. And they're starting at 18 degree Plato original gravity. And the higher the gravity it is, the higher the alcohol gets. And also the more intense, the more complex mostly, or usually, the beers are.
There's another thing that's called Doppelbock, double bock. What's the difference there? Just is there something in the brewing process, or what is the difference from a normal bock to a double bock?
The higher gravity.
Higher gravity?
Okay. Yeah. So it's basically the higher gravity that's the big difference. So there's not the bigger difference on malt or hops or whatever, because this is so different from brewery to brewery and from recipe to recipe. But the biggest difference between these two styles, which differs them, is... the gravity, so how high it is. And the bock starts at 16, and as far as the original gravity is over 18 or starting at 18, then you have a Doppelbock.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if it's a pale or dark, or
so basically
if it's
just
a wheat
definition.
Bock, or it's a lager bock, or whatever. It's the only definition on bock beers are about or dedicated to the gravity.
So after clarifying this, let's dive into the history a little bit. You see, there's this huge myth that bock beers actually originate in Bavaria. But we're here to tell you...
Blasphemy!
unfortunately, this is wrong.
Yeah, so they're not Bavarian origin.
Exactly.
Maybe Bavaria integrated strong beers, Bock beers in their culture very strongly and became famous and big here in Bavaria.
Yeah.
But what's not a Bavarian invention?
Exactly, because the actual invention was made at brewery Einbeck in Lower Saxony in Germany.
Yeah, northern Bavaria, somewhere up there.
Let's not
so important. Yeah. No, not right. That's not right.
A lot more north than, than Bavaria.
A few hundred kilometers, I guess. Yeah. It would be like a 5-6 hours drive north of Freising. Yeah.
And so there was the issue that beer was seen as something luxurious in the 13th century. And they even started exporting this beer to Italy. And just to make it durable, to make it last longer on this long drive to Italy, they had to make it stronger. So somehow they already knew that more alcohol means
conserving
more durable beer.
Yeah. And
that is basically the reason why they made stronger beer.
So they can transport it.
Exactly. And it doesn't go bad on the way down to Italy. I know it's not the sensational invention of something.
Yeah, it was just necessary.
It was necessary.
They
it was a necessary
tried to
invention.
Be innovative, and so how we can do that and make it stronger. And so those beers got very popular there in Einbeck.
Exactly.
Still existing brewery there, Einbeck Brewery. Greetings from us.
Yes.
Great guys making great beers. And yeah.
And just a couple hundred years later was when the beer was, let's say, imported to Bavaria because they liked the style so much that they just imported it.
The Bavarian Dukes, or the family of the Bavarian Dukes, the Wittelsbacher, liked that kind of beer, and so they imported the beer from Einbeck to Munich.
Exactly. And, you know, after some time, they said, you know, let's not import the beer, let's import the brewer.
More sustainable solution of that.
And they hired a brewer from Einbeck and just produced the beer themselves.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the phrase Bock beer, Bock, means billy goat, if you translate it literally. But it doesn't have anything to do with a billy goat. It's just that Einbeck, the name of the brewery, was somehow pronounced as Einbock here in Bavaria due to dialect.
Or Einbockish beer.
Exactly. And somehow this became Bock beer.
Yeah. So from Einbeck they made Einbock, and from Einbock it somehow became just Bock.
Exactly.
And then it was Bock beer at some point, because Bavarians, when they speak, they try to, I don't know how to say this politely.
Yeah, we bark.
And so they tried to shortcut everything not necessary out of their speaking. And so from Einböckisch Bier, they made it to Bock Bier.
Exactly.
And or just Bock.
But this thing, Bock, Billy Goat, it kind of became a symbol for Bock beers.
Yeah,
here.
Different kind of goats became, so it could be also those alpine goats, you know, the Steinbock, which I don't know in English is the word for. But the different kind of goats became then kind of signature animals to make labels or whatever for strong beers, for those Bock beers. And today when you say, oh, it's a Bock or a Bock beer, everyone knows that it's a strong beer. So it's so common. Also at that time it was common when you say you want to have a Bock, then it means that it's strong beer.
And the tradition to just to celebrate the season, the Lenten season, with Bock beer originates from monks not being able to eat during this Lenten time.
Yeah, because a lot of those abbeys had very strict rules in the Lenten time. In the 40 days of Lenten, they had very strict rules. And one of those rules were that they were not allowed to eat in those 40 days because they need to suffer because...
Jesus suffered for them.
Yes, so and they also need to suffer for 40 days, and so they cut out meals. And monks in Bavaria were kind of sneaky.
Yep.
Could I say that so?
Yeah.
It's sneaky because they said, well, if I drink something liquid, this does not break the rule because I'm not having a meal and I'm not eating some solid food. I'm just having something liquid. And drinking liquids is not breaking the rule. And exactly. So they start drinking those strong beers. And at that time, the bock beers were not that high fermented. It means that a lot of fermentable sugars were inside the beer, and the beer was very sweet, but also very high in calories, yeah, much more than today. And of course, it was a high alcohol content. And so in those 40 days, the monks drank a lot of those strong, high calorie, high alcohol beers. And for two reasons, because they got the calories they needed for in those 40 days. And also, I guess, the high alcohol content and being a little bit tipsy all the time, the 40 days, made them to bear this 40 days of Lenting much more easier than, I don't know, they would not drink it.
Doesn't sound bad to me.
Well, I could never eat nothing for 40 days. Nothing, no solid food for 40 days. It's, for me, unthinkable. I need to be honest on that.
But there's also
smart. Yeah. It was a smart move to say, well, then let's have those kind of beers.
There's also a legend that's connected to it. The monks.
Cute story. Yeah. We don't know if it's true, but it's a cute story.
Not 100%, but there's the legend that the Bavarian monks, that the Pope wasn't sold on the monks drinking these kinds of things in during Lenting season. So the monks said, all right, we'll just send them couple barrels down to the Vatican, and you know, let's see what he says about that. And on that journey down to the Vatican, the beer went bad and tasted so bad when he tried it.
We assume sourish.
Sour, maybe, yeah. That the Pope said, no, that's more of a punishment than something that they enjoy.
Yeah, so they suffer.
Yeah, you know, they suffer even
more. Drinking that beer, they suffer definitely. So it's basically that what they should do in the
exactly. Vatican. So he replied, no problem, drink that beer. Don't worry, suffer a little more. And, you know, I guess they...
Role models, you're real role models, guys.
And I guess the monks never clarified the situation.
Yeah, never.
So that is the legend. That, well, it probably has a true core. I don't know how to what extent.
It's a cute story. True, but it's a cute story anyway. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the origin. And, you know, in Bavaria, the origin... or the making it famous process lies with Paulaner.
Yes, with the former abbey, Franciscana abbey, I guess it was. So they were part of the order of the Franciscans, I guess, and that they were dedicated to Saint Paolo, or was it
Franz von Paola?
Franz von Paola, so Saint Paola, and where their name Paulaner then. Came from. Those guys were getting those strong beers from a Munich brewery. And at some point they said, well, maybe we brew it on our own. So we don't need to buy it from a brewery. So we brew our own Lenting season beer, our own bock beer. And then a son of a brewmaster joined the abbey, joined the order of the Paulaners, and started brewing. And he started not just brewing the bock beer. He was the first known brewmaster of brewing so-called Doppelbock, so an even stronger version of the bock beer. And those were then more popular under the monks, so the monks more appreciated the stronger beer because more alcohol and even more calories and better in taste. And those beers became then the famous Doppelbock beers, the dark, strong beers from Munich. And and so they called it Salvator because to dedicate the situation that they, having those Lenting seasons and those beers. And this built up the ground for the big tradition in Munich and Bavaria for the strong Doppelbock beers in the Lenting season. And this came originally out from the Paulaner order from Munich, which is today the Paulaner brewery.
Exactly, and this is also a couple of years later after they introduced these beers. They started the tradition of having a ceremonial keg tapping.
Yes.
And because they still did not have the official right to pour the beer,
yes, just to brew it for themselves, but they sold it to the Munich people. Some, I would guess, more gray zone area, illegal kind of thing.
The Duke said, all right, we'll look past it.
Yeah, we will not see it. What? Who is selling beer? No one is selling beer.
And a couple of years later, they introduced the tradition of tapping the first
the brewmaster.
Exactly.
So the son of the brewmaster became then the brewmaster of the Paulaner order. His name was Brother Barnabas, and he got the idea, well, let's tap the first wooden keg of the strong beer of the Salvator and hand over the first mug to the Duke of Bavaria. And they invited the Duke. The Duke came, got the first beer, celebrated with the monks in their abbey the beer and the end of the Lenting season. And after that, the legend says, they became the right to sell the beer too. So then they were officially allowed to sell their beer.
That's and a nice trade. One mug of beer for the
Duke drank a little bit more, I assume. But yeah, and this started the whole tradition of, you know, tapping a ceremonial keg at a festive event, you know? It could be a strong beer event, it could be a Volksfest event or Oktoberfest or whatever. So, but all this started with Brother Barnabas tapping the wooden keg, the wooden barrel, and handing over the Duke of Bavaria the first liter of strong beer. And this settled the ground for the whole tradition, what we have today, was Volksfest, was Oktoberfest, or other similar events.
And another tradition closely connected to these Bockbier fests is the annual, let's say, comedization of the politicians.
Yeah, well, I would say, I guess we need to, in an international perspective, we need to explain it a little bit different.
Yeah.
So there's this event where a lot of celebrities and politicians and, you know, whatever, important people, VIPs get invited to this event. So there's food and there is beer, strong beer, the Bock beers are there. And then there is a comedian up on the stage, and he is having like 1 or 2 hours a speech and roasting everyone who is worth roasting. It's like, you know, from Comedy Central, the roast off,
yeah.
You know, and it's a few people that are roasting themselves or a central person. I've seen once an episode with William Shatner. I'm a big Star Trek fan, so I need to see it. You know, the roast of William Shatner, and it was super funny. But basically, that's the so-called strong beer event. Yeah, there's this one comedian or this one guy up on the stage, and who is roasting basically every politician based on that what they did the last year.
And to honor the history of it, he's mostly in a monk's costume.
Yes,
and
yes.
Most of the time he's actually the Brother Barnabas.
Yeah, he is like impersonating the figure of Brother Barnabas.
And yes. He's preaching in a humoristic way.
Yeah,
and
sometimes tough.
Yeah,
and based on the politicians that are sitting in the audience. So the politicians need to sit there in the audience and hear, and then they must you know, like, yeah, so
laugh.
Funny. Yeah, so because they, I don't know. Yeah, so this is very fun to watch because they broadcast it on TV all over Bavaria and also all over Germany, this kind of roast. Yeah, and yeah, so once in a year you can sit in front of German TV and see how a comedian is ripping apart politicians live on TV.
And it's a good thing to watch.
Yeah, it's always fun.
And we have something similar here in Weinstephan, because Bockbierfests are a tradition all over Bavaria, all over Germany in the meantime, but it's not as celebrated anywhere in the world as it is in Bavaria.
Yes, of course.
And right now where we're sitting here in the Stephanskeller, which we introduced early in the podcast, is the place where we have our Bockbierfest, our Starkbierfest. And there's always a comedian, very well-known Bavarian comedian coming in, Wolfgang Krebs, who's impersonating leading politicians of mostly Bavaria, sometimes Germany. And he gives us like 2 hours full of laughs.
Yeah, making fun of them, but not like personal what they are as a human, so what they did in the last year.
Yeah.
So making fun of them, their actions and their decisions, or
based
whatever.
On their political careers.
Yeah, and as a normal citizen, it's sometimes
it's fun to watch.
Yeah, fun to watch, and kind of relieving that there is one of us there having the possibility to.
Yeah.
Do something that we maybe can't.
Yeah, he also does a little part. Always does a little part about the local politicians too.
Yeah.
So he gets
like
a little
the
input.
Freising and
exactly, yeah. Exactly, which is also very funny. But most of the time, it's like more big politics.
Yeah.
And it's always a great thing here because there's 200 people coming together, mostly invitations. It's also to celebrate long-lasting partnerships here with Weinstephan customers, with Weinstephan partners and friends. Some people are from the brewery. And there's a couple, well, probably like 50 tickets that are open for sale and they're gone in like seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's a pretty high demand on these tickets, and it's always a great thing just to be here in the cellar and to celebrate this because we didn't have a Bock Beer Fest for 3 years now. Last one was in 2019. Yeah. Thanks, pandemic. Go home now. And this year it'll be there again. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, definitely. So this is what. Strong beer or Bock Beer Fests are today. It's like people gathering, drinking strong beers so that they getting in good mood pretty fast, having hearty meals and listening to a comedian. So basically here it's in Bavaria and Germany, it's more like political comedy, but actually you can work with kind of normal comedy. Can I say that way? Like just having
sharing
a fun people up there or some stand-up. You know, you can also see it as a stand-up event, you know, making stand-up comedy and serve hearty meals and intense beers.
Can celebrate in different ways.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
So, that's basically it. Yeah. And that's kind of seen as the highlight of the season. And in traditional way, you know, with Easter, so with the end of the Lenting season, also the strong beer season ends. And a lot of breweries only brew their strong beers just for those seasons. Yeah. So for the season from, like, New Year to end of so basically one quarter of the year they're selling the beers and then they stop and then they're just having it again in the next season. So we're there a little bit unconventional, I would say, because our two Bock beers, like Vitus, which is the wheat strong beer, and Corbinian, which is the traditional dark lager Doppelbock, is available all over the year.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's a good thing that it is because Vitus and Corbinian are not only important to us because of, you know, the meaning of those two guys, but these are also very well-received beers.
Yes.
And just from our brewery standpoint, these are beers that people connect to us. And it's incredible what kind of image these beers have
in
the
world.
They
are brand builders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They help build the brand because they're maybe not the big volume sellers, but they're building up an image of, and there people can see what kind of beers we are able to do next to our lager or next to our wheat beer or whatever. So that we are full sortiment brewery, so that we have a whole complex Bavarian style portfolio, and that we also keep the traditions alive that having those beers.
Exactly. And a little heads up, if you want to do, because there's different types of Bock beers, we will discuss this in another episode with our Dr. Taste, Florian Lehnhardt, who was teaching us.
He finished
about
his PhD a few couple of weeks ago. So
now he's in fact Dr. Taste.
Yeah.
He's been talking to us for all of the last seasons, was teaching us something about sensory, and he will be back and we will talk to him about Starkbierer Bock beers. And so we won't dive into the different types right now, but just a little heads up.
How they're made and whatever. So the more sensory analysis and taste and how to brew them, there's a known episode on that. Yeah.
Exactly. And just a little heads up, if you want to try making an ice bock for yourself, there is a little manual how to do that on our website. So if you want to check that out, go to our website, search for the ice bock and
follow the instructions. Ice bock is a special variation of the strong beers of the Bock beers.
Yes, stronger.
The stronger version of a Doppelbock. And there's a special process where you freeze in Bock beer and to make it even stronger and a small recipe on how to do it or a small procedure how to do it maybe at home.
Yeah.
You'll find.
Try it out. So we'll leave you with that.
Yes.
There's more to come about Bock beers. So stay tuned. And we'll hear from you next.
And
time.
So if someone is complaining that you're now starting drinking more stronger beers in the time between Ash Wednesday and Easter.
It's Lenting season, baby.
It's Bockbier season. you always can say, it's for the culture, it's for the tradition.
Exactly, just celebrating
it's
culture.
What it is,
So thank you very much for listening and have a great day.
Bye-bye.